I invite you to join with me in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you encounter us. God, that you are with us. God, we thank you for your holy word, which instructs us and teaches us and encourages us and inspires us. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would inspire us this day as we turn to your word, that you would speak that which each one of us needs to hear, and God, that your word would penetrate our hearts and transform our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. Well, I really have enjoyed selecting the encounters with Jesus in the New Testament, the stories that I would get to preach on this summer. If you've been following with us on these encounters, the first one that I selected was blind Bartimaeus, which happens to be one of my favorite gospel stories. Today, I would like to take a look at another story that's a favorite, not of mine, but of someone else who's very dear to me. Weeks ago, I asked my daughter, Carrie, if my two-year-old grandson had any favorite Jesus encounter stories. And she selected a story from this Jesus Storybook Bible. It's a story called The Man Who Didn't Have Any Friends, None. And it is the story of Zacchaeus. Now, the story of Zacchaeus is only told by Luke. You won't encounter Zacchaeus in Matthew, Mark, or John, or for any other place in the Bible for that matter. And Luke only mentions Zacchaeus one time, just this story. And so you would think that this would be an obscure story that only like Bible kind of people know about. But that is really not the case. I think that's often because this is told as a children's story. It's in the Jesus Storybook Bible. You may have learned a song when you were a little kid, like Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man was he. I think part of the reason why this story is so well known and is so well liked and is included in children's Bibles is that most of us can relate to the fact that we have a physical quality that is distinctive. Maybe it's your height, maybe it's your curly hair, maybe it's your freckles, maybe it's something else, but we remember Zacchaeus, I think, in part because Luke tells us that Zacchaeus is short. But that's not all that we know about him. So I want to invite you to listen to this story of Zacchaeus's encounter with Jesus, which is found in the Gospel of Luke, the beginning of the 19th chapter. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." And so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So if you have your Bible with you, and leave it open, because we're going to take a look at this story of Zacchaeus, in some parts, verse by verse. And so at the beginning, Jesus is coming into town, and Zacchaeus hears the news that Jesus is coming. And so we want to take a look at some of the details of as Jesus enters town and encounters Zacchaeus. Just beginning in verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. So Jesus is passing through Jericho and he's on his way to Jerusalem. And Jericho would have been only about 12 miles outside of Jerusalem. If you know the rest of this chapter and the rest of what happens in the Gospel of Luke, you will see that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the very last time. After he encounters Zacchaeus at the beginning of chapter 19, he tells a parable in verses 11 through 27. And then you see Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday for the very last week of his life. And so Zacchaeus is the last person Jesus encounters before the last week of his life. And Jesus is on his way to the holy city of Jerusalem, and yet Jericho is not a holy city. Jericho is actually a very worldly city. And so here in Jericho, Jesus is not just announcing that the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. He is demonstrating it through this story and through his encounter with Zacchaeus. So in verse 2, we learn that a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. We learn his name. His name is Zacchaeus. Now, in Luke's gospel, we meet a lot of people who don't have names. Think about it. We don't know the name of the prodigal son, or of the persistent widow, of the rich young ruler, of the blind beggar. They are all anonymous in the Gospel of Luke, but Luke tells us Zacchaeus's name. And so there must be some meaning in this name. Now, even today, when people choose a child's name, we often consider the meaning. Choosing a name is a big deal. When Ken and I named our daughter, we named her Carrie after her great-grandmother, Carrie Durwachter. And we called her Graham. Graham lived to be almost 102. She was less than 5 feet tall, but she was a force. In fact, we often joked and called her that Graham was a tank. As it turns out, Carrie means strong. And so Graham lived up to that meaning of her name, but she didn't like her middle name. Graham's middle name was Amanda. She didn't like that, so she did not want us to name our daughter Carrie Amanda, and instead we named her Carrie Renee. And Renee means peace. So our daughter's name means strong, peaceful woman, and that is exactly what she is. People in the Bible, in the Bible times, they would have said, well, of course that's what she is, because it was understood at that time that your name didn't just identify you. Your name was part of your of what you were like. It defined you. And so if your name meant strong, peaceful woman, well, then you were expected to be a strong, peaceful woman. You may know some of the meaning of some of the biblical names. For example, Peter, one of Jesus's disciples, you may know that his name means rock. And that's significant because Jesus said to him, "On this rock, I will build my church." One of my favorite biblical names meanings is that of Esau. Esau in the Old Testament, his name means hairy. And that's because Esau was very hairy. So if you're tracking with me, you might be wondering, what does Zacchaeus's name mean? And that's a really good question. Zacchaeus means pure, which we quickly discover as we read this story is significant and ironic. Because if we keep reading in verse 2, we know his name is Zacchaeus, and then we learn his occupation. Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. Now, as a chief tax collector, he would have been hated by the people because he would have gouged the people by charging excessive taxes that were then used to finance the expanding Roman Empire. As a chief tax collector, that meant that he would have employed other tax collectors in the area of Jericho, and they all would have been ripping off the people by charging as much as they wanted in taxes or as much as they thought they could get out of people. And then, to make matters even worse, this money that was being charged in taxes would go to the Roman Empire, and part of what the Romans would do with it was that they would build shrines to their pagan gods. And so Zacchaeus was a traitor. He was the worst kind of traitor because he was a traitor to his people and he was a traitor to his God. And so no one, no Jew would have ever considered Zacchaeus to be pure. He was a tax collector. And then verse 2 also tells us he was wealthy. Zacchaeus was rich. And that's likely because Jericho was a very prosperous city, so he would have collected a lot of taxes. And if you're familiar with the Gospel of Luke, that word wealthy, rich, knowing that about Zacchaeus would have made you think, it's setting us up for Zacchaeus is probably not going to fare very well with Jesus. Because if you just back up just a few verses to Luke chapter 18, if you look at verse 25, you would see that Jesus says, "Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." And so Luke sets up this story to give us the expectation that Zacchaeus is not going to have a chance with Jesus. But then we get to verse 3. And look at verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Don't miss the first part of that verse. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Luke doesn't tell us why. Maybe he had heard about Jesus and he was just curious about this traveling rabbi. Maybe he realized that money wasn't satisfying and no matter how much you had. And so he was looking for something to give meaning and purpose to his life. Or maybe he just had some need that he wanted to bring before Jesus. We don't know why. He's not the type of person that we're going to expect to see go to great lengths to seek out an encounter with a holy man. And yet, this filthy rich, heartless, despised, cheating traitor wanted to see who Jesus was. And Jesus can't resist an encounter with someone who really, truly wants to see who he is. Can you think of a story in the Bible when somebody wanted to see who Jesus was and they were rejected or ignored by Jesus? I don't think there is one, because Jesus doesn't care who it is, what they have done, how pathetic their life has become. He responds to people who truly want to see who he is. So let's pause here. Do you want to see who Jesus is? And why do you want to see who Jesus is? So often we want something from Jesus more than we want Jesus. Zacchaeus, in this verse 3, we see him starting, perhaps, to live up to his name. Is he pure after all? He simply wants to see Jesus. But verse 3 tells us that he has a problem. He was short. And obviously, that's not his fault that he's short. You can't determine what your height is, but it could keep him from seeing Jesus. And so what does he do in verse 4? Verse 4 says, "So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way." I don't know what you think about that sentence. Maybe you think, Zacchaeus was pretty clever. Or maybe you find it amusing. What I do know is that when this story was first told and people would have first been hearing it in Bible times, they would have found that verse shocking. Because adult men did not run and they did not climb trees, and wealthy adult men absolutely didn't do those things. It was considered humiliating. But obviously, Zacchaeus so badly wanted to see who Jesus was that he's willing to humble himself, and he doesn't seem to care what other people would say or would think of him. He was willing to do whatever he could to get to see Jesus. Which again, are we willing to humble ourselves by not following in the ways of the culture around us so that we might see Jesus? Are we willing to take a less expensive vacation or drive an older car so that we can dedicate more of our finances to further the kingdom of God? Are we willing to be in a relationship with people who are not like us, but who are very different because they're part of the family of God too, and that includes all kinds of people, not just the people who look and think and act like us? The culture around us says that we should talk about Jesus, but are we willing to humble ourselves by telling our story of the difference that Jesus has made in our life? Because Zacchaeus was willing, wanted to see who Jesus was, and he didn't let his height or his reputation stop him from encountering Jesus. The end result was salvation came to his house. In verse 9, Jesus announces, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." So think for a moment, what is keeping you from encountering Jesus? It might be something that isn't your fault. Like Zacchaeus's height, that wasn't his fault. Maybe you were raised in a non-Christian home and you didn't grow up learning stories like these. You didn't have a Jesus storybook Bible and someone to read it to you. And you're trying to understand what this Bible says and to figure out what does it mean to be part of the body of Christ, part of a church. Maybe you have had some really hard things happen to you in your life and you feel hurt and angry, and you are struggling to believe that God really is good because your life has not been good. Would you consider taking a step toward Jesus? Do you have the courage to risk being put down by the people around you so that you could catch a glimpse of Jesus? Because Jesus always responds to people who genuinely, sincerely, purely want to see who he is. But maybe what's keeping you from Jesus is some kind of barrier that you've put up. Zacchaeus chose to be a tax collector. He got rich by cheating and stealing from his own people. It didn't matter that he was taking bread out of the mouths of children or that he was collecting money for Rome that would be used to build pagan shrines. Zacchaeus was only looking out for himself, and he was living a life that was far from what God intends for God's people. And everybody knew it. Is there a barrier that you have put up that is keeping you from encountering Jesus? Are you working all the time so that you don't have time for worship or prayer or Bible study or serving? Are you addicted to social media? If you had to give up one day where you couldn't read your Bible or you couldn't scroll your favorite social media channel, which would be harder? Do you have a secret sin that is controlling you and slowly eating at you? When we looked at Peter's encounter with Jesus a couple of weeks ago, we saw the transformational power of repentance. And next week, Pastor Matt is going to preach on John the Baptist and his encounter with Jesus, and we will once again see the significance of repentance. And today, with the story of Zacchaeus, we see the incredible difference that repentance can make in a person's life. Zacchaeus comes down out of that tree a changed man because he saw Jesus. When Jesus calls him by name and told him that he's coming to his house, the barriers were gone. And so Zacchaeus came down at once and gladly welcomed him. It was a great day for Zacchaeus. But the crowd was indignant that Jesus would honor a person like him. And so all the people who saw this began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Perhaps you know what it's like to be the object of other people's muttering. Zacchaeus surely did. He knew how it hurt and how it created a barrier. And now they weren't muttering about Zacchaeus. They were muttering about Jesus, and they were muttering about Jesus because of Zacchaeus. He was used to people muttering about him, but it was something else entirely to be the cause of people muttering about Jesus, and Zacchaeus wasn't going to allow that to happen. I love the way he responds to this. He may be short, but he stands up, and he speaks to the crowd. not to the crowd, not to the muttering crowd. He speaks directly to Jesus and he says, "Look, Lord." In verse 8, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Zacchaeus doesn't give excuses for what he has done as a tax collector. He owns his stuff. He will not allow Jesus to be criticized for staying with a sinner. And so on the spot, he changes his ways and he makes things right. And he gives back so much more than he had to. We see in this story that encountering Jesus doesn't just make Zacchaeus happy. It changes how he lives. And that starts with radical generosity. Zacchaeus gave so much more than he had to because he wanted to show the muttering crowd that Jesus was not misguided to be a guest in his house because he was now a changed man. Do you ever think about that when you give? That your generosity or lack of it reflects onto Jesus. In this story, Zacchaeus wasn't giving to Jesus. He was giving because of Jesus, because he had an encounter with Jesus that broke through all the barriers that were keeping Zacchaeus far from God. And he wanted to show the muttering crowd that he was a changed man. It is interesting to me that Zacchaeus is probably most well known for being short and for climbing a tree. But when Jesus told the story, the memorable part would have been his radical generosity. The chief tax collector, who everyone knew was a cheat for his own people, that he took their money in order to line his own pockets, now he gives away half his possessions and more than paid back what he had stolen. Notice one final detail in this story in verse 8. "Look, Lord, here and now I give." Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and he did. And it changed his life. Zacchaeus saw who Jesus is, and he responds by inviting Jesus to see who Zacchaeus is. No longer a cheating tax collector, but an honest and generous member of the community. Zacchaeus, now his name fits. Zacchaeus is pure. Amen.